the Lord. Let's all stand, if you will. Bow our heads. Precious Heavenly Father, we feel so blessed, Lord, to be able to gather this morning. Lord, we appreciate every opportunity you give us. Lord, we didn't come here by our own will. Lord, we come here by desire, driving us to be here. Lord, we appreciate that with all our hearts this morning. Lord, as we sing these few songs back to you, Lord, may we sing with all our hearts and mean it from the bottom of our heart. Lord, may we sit intently and listen to thy word that you have so graciously given us in this day and this hour. We are so very thankful this morning, Lord. Just have your way in this service, everything that's said and done. Be for your glory and your honor. In the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. We turn to page 167 and only believe. On a hill far away stood an old rugged cross, the emblem of suffering and shame. And I love that old cross where dark Calvary. 354 in the same book. Amen. I have a soul of strength when I am weak, that takes me through when life is pressing me. I have a soul of power from above. I'm covered over by a shield. Sickness and my pain. When I need healing, I claim those precious bloodstains. I do not know this wonderful name this morning. Amen. So thankful for the blood. Amen. What a blessing it is. Amen. Page 89, the same book. Pick up your cross. Follow him. Amen. It's a privilege. Brother Paul, would you take up the offering this morning? Shut in with God. Shut in. Here says, pray for brother and sister Samba as they are traveling back from home from the funeral today. Just keep them in your hearts and your prayers, along with each and every one that has a need this morning, saints. Amen. Always keep them on your heart. Dear precious Heavenly Father, we come to you once more, Lord. It's such a privilege, Lord, to bring our needs and petitions before you. And this morning, Lord, I'm sure everyone sitting here can say they have a need in one way or another. Lord, we ask you by your grace and by your Holy Spirit, Lord, to reach down and take care of each and every need only by your perfect will, Lord. Lord, that's what we want in our life is your perfect will. Lord, as you walk with us each and every day, Lord, it's such a privilege, it's such a blessing. Lord, we have nothing to complain about. We're so thankful you're our friend, you're our guide. Lord, sometimes in this flesh, things come upon us, Lord, that seems hard to bear. Lord, you're there to take care of it. You're there to comfort. You're there to guide. Lord, we ask you to keep your hand on brother and sister Assam as they travel today. Lord, it can be some slick spots out there and some crazy people on the roads nowadays, Lord. But with your guidance and your hand, Lord, we'll always be safe. Lord, we ask you to bless each and every one that couldn't be here today. Lord, I know their hearts long to be here, Lord. They long to get out. Fellowship with the brothers and sisters, Lord, to hear thy word in person. Lord, we ask you to bless them richly, Lord. Just Lord, touch their hearts, touch their lives, bless them, Lord, for the pain they have to endure. Lord, we just give you all the glory and the honor that's due unto you this night, this day. And Lord, more than anything in this life, Lord, we ask for revelation of thy word today. Lord, that's why we have come and gathered, Lord, in such a corrupt world all around us, Lord. There's a bride, Lord, that has a burning in her heart to gather around your word. Lord, that's only your grace and your mercy. Lord, we appreciate you now. Lord, just have your way in the reign of the service. We'll give you all the glory and praise and honor that's due unto you. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his name. You may be seated. Amen. Anyone have a special they'd like to sing for us? Amen. Sister Grace. thankful for his grace. Amen. Let's all stand. We sing that little chorus, Shine on Me, as we ask our pastor to come. Shine on me. Shine on me. Let the light from God's lighthouse shine on me. Oh, let it shine.
Gracious Heavenly Father, oh, how truly grateful we are that you've given us this opportunity to be here this morning and to feel your sweet, blessed presence, Lord. We just gathered here again this morning, Father. You know why already. We've gathered here to, Lord, learn of your word and asking you to open our understanding to the word of God, that it be a revelation, Lord, in our hearts, that people could see again that you're alive and dwelling within human flesh again this hour and this day, and how we are so thankful that you've given us eyes, Lord, to see these things. We just pray for a greater revelation of it, and we ask now that you'd bless us and help us to yield to you. Help us be open vessels and our minds cleared, Lord, and just surrender to you and wait on you to speak to us. In your glorious, precious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Praise his wonderful name. Isn't it good to be back again this morning? Amen. It's so wonderful. I want to, if you'd like to turn with me again, the book of Matthew, 13th chapter, and we're going to read that 16th verse again. Now, if you don't mind, I would like to go back because to rehearse on some things we brought last Sunday. And I just felt led to do so, of the condition of different things, and so many not here, and some sick, and different situations. And I say, well, you know, I listened to it on the web. That's good, but I've already seen the results of that. It's sometimes not getting received and not understood, which is fine. I mean, we have to do the best that we can do, but you know, my advice I can give that if we are in that situation, we're sick or we can't be here for some reason, is to give your whole undivided attention to the service and not let things distract you. Not have something cooking in the kitchen and children screaming and hollering, but sit down as a family or together and listen to the services. Otherwise, my opinion, which don't mean much, you might as well not even turn it on because you're wasting your time. But I, again, saints, I always take these things very serious. And like I say, and when you see the results of it, that people aren't getting it when they're not here, then, you know, it's pretty obvious, you know, it's not doing much good. But we'll do it as long as the Lord allows us to do it and to do so. All right, so we read this scripture again in Matthew 13 and begin 16th verse. So we'll just read the 16th verse. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. May the Lord bless during his word again. You may be seated. My, just a few words our Lord Jesus spoke there in that verse, but yet so meaningful. And trusting that, you know, after we get done today again, Lord willing, if he permits, be his will, that we'll see why we are blessed. You know, to have eyes to see and ears to hear what they hear. Because we're living that time, we can see easily that, my, if God is in control of your life and you're receiving the word for your day and you're seeing the vindication of it come forth, then you ought to be so thankful and appreciative. because there's so much false out there anymore. But we'll also read the book of Luke, the 10th chapter, and let's read that 21st verse. Like I said, we're just going to rehearse a few things first. And then when I bring some of these things that I will rehearse, I may put a little more emphasis on it and a little more attention to a couple different things. But again, we were thinking about those three kinds of believers, and we want to, by God's grace, make sure that we're the true believer. And, you know, we're not one that falls in the other two categories of the make-believer and the unbeliever. But we find here Luke 10, chapter 21st verse. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Spirit, or in spirit, and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou art, that thou hast hid these things. Now just think of the many things. From the wise and prudent, or the intellect, and have revealed them unto babies. Remember, babies are, they need to be taught, and they will listen, and they like to draw in all they can, you know, that learning stage. And has revealed them unto babes, even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. So we find here that with this make-believer and unbeliever, they can get a lot of intellectual understanding, and which is, in other words, not from revelation. And they can put a lot of things together, and they can come along so far. But when it comes to the point of reality having to come forth, or the life of it coming forth, then it's just not there. And that's why you see so many that we've talked about a few weeks ago, talking about when we started this little series, of so many of them that's falling away and knows the message very well, knows quotes and dates and many events the prophet did, and all these great things that took place in the prophet's life, and many things in the message, and what the message was about that he taught and spoke on and so forth, and yet not able to display the life of Christ, and not able to understand even simple things that God has given his people. And, you know, we may just take it for granted that, well, we understand this and we understand that, and our life is conformed to it, and we're doing what the Word says to do. We may just think, you know, well, that's just the way it is, but I'm telling you, you're blessed. Very, very blessed, because many do not see it. Many do not understand it, and we see it coming out more and more in this falling away that's been taking place. And as I said, so we, through these things, we want to make sure that we can measure ourselves up by the Word, as the Scripture says, and see where we come out at. And not measure ourselves up by ourselves, not measure ourselves up by somebody else, no, not by another friend or another brother or this, that, and the other, but measure ourselves up by the Word of God and that alone, all right? Because if we start trying to measure ourselves up by somebody else and make that our standard, how do we know that standard that we've made and put in front of us is not lacking something, you know, and don't believe something? So we're not here to measure ourselves up by somebody else. The Scripture says, again, to measure ourselves up by the Word of God, you see. So that's what we're doing today, is measuring ourselves up by the Word of God, to make sure we know where we're going to come out on this thing, you see. In Matthew 13 chapter, in let's go ahead and read in that 13th chapter and go ahead and read the 10th and 11th verse, just a little bit before we first started. 11, 13, 10th, and 12th verse. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given to you to know. And I want you to pay close attention to that today. It was given to you to know. Okay? The mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given So we realize there's those that it's given to know, just rehearse to simplicity, and there's those it's not given to know. They can't get it. I don't care how much they would listen to it or try to or want to, they just can't get it, you know? It's not to him that willeth or him that runneth, but to him who God shows mercy to. So we realize that some it's been given to know. And keep in mind now, there's these unbelievers, these make-believers, I should say, they really think they know. They really can think it was given to them to know. You know, that's the thing. They can think that it was given to them to know. And yet it wasn't. All right? So, again, keep that in mind. It was given to you to know. Now, I'm going to just read a little example here, which there's many. But I just it's just a little one of them I picked out so you can kind of get the idea of it because of the way the prophet quoted it. But he was talking about, and he was actually bringing his Christmas message out. And it was the message, we have seen a star and have come to worship him. And it was December 16, 1963. And I'll just read a short portion of it so you can just kind of catch the direction we want you to see as we go into these other scriptures and so forth. As we look back some 1900 years ago, there had been a word prophesied since the Garden of Eden of a Savior coming. And there was one come and fulfilled every word that was prophesied. His life vindicated God's word because he was the Word. The same thing the bride would do. They'll vindicate the Word also because they're part of Christ. Okay, the fullness of God dwelt within him. He was the answer. Answer in the fullness of all the prophets had said. And now tonight, we are here approaching again the celebration of his birthday. And Lord, we're so sorry to know. Now listen to this. And Lord, we're so sorry to know that even our nation has wrapped herself into some kind of fictitious story of someone that was supposed to have been some, he goes on here a little bit here, he says, been some mythical myth. But Lord, we know that the true believer knows that's wrong. And it's only done of the enemy to beset people's mind from the true and living God. So there's many places he talks about that it's the true believer knows. The true believer knows what's wrong. Many places he mentions the true believer knows what's right. Okay? But you got to remember, we're living in a time where I'm sure you've seen it, and people can be living in such confusion and yet be a believer. They call themselves believers. And they're so confused about things. And then a lot of ministers get things so mixed up and so misconstrued and come up with their doctrines and creeds and ideas and different theories that how they approach different things and so forth. But we realize that the true believer will be able to have eyes to see. Without a doubt. She's not walking in confusion. She don't know. They're not walking in a position she don't know what to do. The Word of God tells her exactly what to do. It speaks, and it's amen. And her life vindicates then exactly what that Word says to do. That's why you have so many differences as there is going throughout the land. So many different ideas, different ways that people think about things. And that's why you have some people think it's okay for the sisters to nip their hair off and trim it up a little bit. It's okay to wear a bunch of jewelry. And it's okay to wear tight clothing. It's okay, don't worry, they say, you know. And of course, their life vindicates that. But the true believer knows exactly what God wants done. Don't need nobody keep hammering on them. Don't need somebody keep hammering day after day. She gets filled with the Holy Ghost. Spirit of Christ is within her. And she knows exactly what God wants done, without a doubt. But there's so many people that's following these messages today, following the prophet, and they still don't know what to do. So many people are in such confusion. They don't know how to handle things in life. Trial comes up, they don't know what to do with it. The test hits them head on in the face, they don't know what to do with it. They get all nervous and shook up and such tension and frustrated and sometimes aggravated, and then a temper flies and just all kinds of crazy things happen, evil things happen, because she don't know what to do. Don't know how to face things in life. But that's the thing when we find, if you go through the scriptures and watch as the New Testament begin to come forth, and not start at Matthew, but start in the book of Acts, begin to roll where the Holy Ghost lived in people. The Holy Ghost began to control people. You'll see how the Word began to have control when that Holy Ghost came. Before the Holy Ghost came in the book of Matthew and John, different marks, different place, before they went to Pentecost, which is not the New Testament. But we find that those disciples gave many examples. Just, if you forgot, go back to Matthew and begin to read. And you'll see all kinds of examples they didn't know what to do. They were so confused, they were so scared, they was afraid, they made decisions that wasn't right. Peter himself even denied the Lord Jesus Christ. Now think of that. Before they had the Holy Ghost. Just didn't know what to do. Things that come up in life, which is what happened to these disciples, things come up in life. Now, we could take the time and go through and read many different things, but I haven't got time to do that. Pick it up and read yourself if you don't know it. You'll see it. It's everywhere. Men just didn't know what to do. In simplicity. Is that supposed to be the same thing that still goes on today when God's about to take a bride home? No. But that's the way people live. The same exact way as they did before they went to Pentecost is still the same way people, the only difference is now people's claiming they got the Holy Ghost when I ain't going to answer the question, whatever. But they're claiming they got the Holy Ghost, but still living the same thing the disciples lived before they went to Pentecost. Trials, tests, problems, sunk them, dug them in, tore them up, tore them to pieces, didn't know what to do, didn't know what step to take. But what happened after Pentecost? Changed, didn't it? Yeah. But look at the people that's in the message even, claiming they've got this Holy Ghost and living just like the disciples before Pentecost. You can't deny it. It's there. Or you're blind, one or the other. You see? Okay? So let's go on here. Let's read the next thing we got here. I want to renew our minds back to the quote again the prophet said in the Church Age book. All right, so we find here, it's on page 172. He's talking about the letter. The Holy Spirit told him to pick up the pen and write. All right, so we find here, let's go on, let's skip a little bit here. He's talking about that virgin bride, and let's go on down. He said, notice the harmony of the Father and Son. Jesus never did anything until it was first showed him by the Father. Now we might stop there and say, well, now that was the Lord Jesus, Brother Steve. Come on, give me a break. You know, that was the Lord Jesus. Yeah. Okay. Now is this next thing he's going to say, is it true or is it not true? Am I going to believe it, make believe that I believe it, or am I a true believer? Okay. John 5:19. This harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. Oh. Can that happen before they go to Pentecost or before the Holy Ghost? No. After the Holy Ghost comes in them. and have a real change of that nature. Now this harmony can exist. Now, I don't have to ask you as individuals. I don't ask myself. God already knows each one of our lives. He knows what we think. He searcheth the reins, remember. He knows our thoughts even. So he knows all about us. So there's no way I can sit there today and answer this with my own opinion. He already knows. Whether that harmony exists now between me and him. You can't buffalo God. No. He knows whether this harmony exists now between you and him. Okay? Now, saints, as we come along to these things, we've got to realize that if it isn't, if we don't match it or not match it, we need to cry out to God. You see? I'm sorry, but I can't let you go on and thinking you're all right when you're not. You see, it just can't happen. Okay? I can't. There's no way I could live with myself and do that. Yeah. This harmony is now to exist between the groom and his bride. He shows her his word of life. Now remember, we read the scripture. It's been given to us to know the mysteries of the kingdom. He takes his little bride and shows her that word of life. She receives it. And she never doubts it. Never. Therefore, nothing can harm her, not even death. For if the seed be planted, the water will raise it up again. And here's the secret of this. So it must be a mystery, huh? Till God revealed it. Here's the secret of this. The word is in the bride as it was in Mary. The bride has. Now remember, the true believer is the bride. The unbeliever, make believer ain't the bride. No. The true believer is the bride. The bride has the mind of Christ. For she knows what he wants done with the word. That sounds so simple, but it is so great. She really knows what God wants done with the word. Look at the people who don't know what God wants done with his word. Do you think people know what God wants done with the word when the trial comes and they just keep failing the same thing over and over again? Do you think they know what God wants done when they can't even get rid of a temper? Huh? Do you really think they know what God wants done when they can't treat people like a human being? I'm talking about even sinners. When they want to treat sinners like they're pow trash. Do you really think they know what God wants done with that word? No. I'm sorry, they don't. What about all these other things? A man that really can't love his wife as Christ loved the church. That means a lot of long-suffering. It might mean a lot of, a lot of kindness and gentleness has to be showed when things maybe go a little wrong. Yeah. That means you trust her. Yeah. Especially if she's filled with the Holy Ghost and born again, and then you as a man can't trust her. You don't really love her. No. If you can't trust your wife, you don't love her. No. No way. That's why there's so many sour little confusions in marriages because they don't even trust each other. Yeah. That should have been clear back out there when you're sinners and out there in the world. Then maybe you probably couldn't trust her. She might go up to a man and start talking to him and making eyes at him and things. But if that little woman's filled with the Holy Ghost and you can't trust her, sounds like you need filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah. She performs the command of the word. Now, is this just words or is this God's mouthpiece? This is something the Holy Ghost told that prophet to pick up a pen and begin to write. So God might as well wrote it himself. Well, Brother Steve, you believe that? Absolutely. If I didn't, I wouldn't even be attached to this message. Which too many people are. By long ways. She performs the command of the word in his name, for she has thus saith the Lord. Then the word is quickened by the Spirit, and it comes to pass, like a seed that is planted and watered. It comes to full harvest. You paying attention to everything he's saying? It comes to full harvest. Serving its purpose. Why you've been sent here for. You get the job done. Don't stay in a stalemate stage and try. Pump, 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 pull, pull, pull. No, it gets done. The job gets done. Those in the bride, okay, if you're sitting there and you believe you're bride, ask yourself this question. The bride do only his will. Wow. And no one can make them do otherwise. They have thus saith the Lord, or they keep still. They know that it has to be God in them doing the works. They know that. And you always see, friends, that true believer knowing it's not what she can do. They know it's Christ in him. As Paul said, I live. Which Paul was filled with the Holy Ghost. Paul said, I live, but yet it's not I. It is Christ that liveth in me. And you watch how many times that unbeliever and make-believer wants to try to put all the good deeds in themselves. I done this, I done that, I can do this, and I done this for the Lord, and I done that for the Lord. You ain't doing nothing for the Lord unless God helps you do it. No. But you watch that little make-believer and unbeliever. I done this for God, and I done this for the Lord, and I've done this, and I've done that. That just makes my ears want to just close clear up. They know that it has to be God in them doing the works, fulfilling his own word. He did not complete all his work while in his earthly ministry. So now he works in and through you, if you're the bride, and me, if I'm the bride. Okay? She knows that. She's not in no darkness. She knows. Nothing confusing about it. She knows that's what she's on this earth for. For him to fulfill his work in her life that he left for this specific time. She knows that. Okay? She's not in the dark about it. And she's yielded to it, and it vindicates its taking place in her life. Okay? She knows that, for it was not yet time for him to do certain things that he must now do. But he will now fulfill through the bride that work which he left for this specific time. Now, I'd like to read again now with those few words on thought. Let's go to 1 Corinthians again now. And 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter. And let's read 10th to the 16th verse. 1 Corinthians 2nd chapter, and begin here at the 10th verse. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now notice that takes all of what we can do in ourselves, takes it out of the way. He's revealed it unto us by his Spirit. You don't learn or understand or get a reality of anything on your own. No. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And I know there's people that want to take that credit. They'll sit down and read the word, and they'll read this, and they'll put a scripture here, and they'll read a scripture there, and I figured that out. You really think you figured that out? That's a sure sign you didn't figure it out. You done missed the word somewhere, because only he reveals it. Yeah. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things. See, it don't leave nothing out. Why? So you'll know. Yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man? Remember reading this last week. Save the spirit of man which is in him. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man, but the Spirit of God. You see, God placed that Spirit in us to be able to know the things of God. Okay? So we wouldn't be in the dark, so we wouldn't be confused. You see? So that this would begin to be an automation. He reveals it to you. You know what He wants done. And automatically it begins to be fulfilled in your life. Not what we can do. No. It's not by our works. It's not what we can do in ourselves. It's by grace we're saved, you see. Not what I can muster myself up and make myself and try to perform it on this and this and that. No. It's by grace that we're saved. But it all begins to work by automation, which we'll talk about here in a little bit. Now we have received not the spirit of the world. See, the world don't know about these things. See? Now the world could come in here and maybe those that's in the world come in here and listen to this. And they might be able to intellectually agree with a lot of things and say, hey, that sounds pretty good. You know, it does make sense. And, you know, it does say in Malachi 4 and Revelation 10, these different places, the prophet was supposed to come. That makes pretty good sense. Which a lot of them's done in this last days. Because to them it made a lot of good sense. Intellectually. Friends, I'm trying to show you how and why these people are leaving like they are now. And falling away. They didn't have it to start with. No, they didn't. And we've got to make sure we've got it. Or we're going to end up in this falling away. See? Alright? He says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things. That we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth. There's the real teacher right there. The Holy Ghost teacher inside of you, you see. Comparing spiritual things with spiritual. You see, some people just can't get that comparing spiritual things with spiritual. I'll give them some intellectual, and if they're intellectual and they have it all in their mind, they try to compare things, but watch it always come out the wrong direction. He says here, comparing spiritual things to spiritual, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them. See, some just can't know it. It's not given to them to know. We read the scripture. But there is those that are, it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom. So they know what God wants done with His word. Take that little woman, little sister, she knows what God wants done with that word. The man of the house, he knows what God wants done with that word. He knows what God wants done with that word on children, and the wife knows what God wants done with the children, and the wife knows what to do for her husband and to respect him and have his meals ready and his shirts ironed, whatever it takes, clothes washed. She knows that. A man knows that he's to work for a living. Yeah, by the sweat of his head. He's not trying to get out of it. He knows he has to do that. He knows what it is to love his wife, honor her, respect her. He knows. He knows that he's got a job to make sure those children are raised according to the admonition of the Lord. He knows that. And his life vindicates it so. That young person knows what a young person should be in this hour. And he or she performs that and it vindicates. She doesn't get entangled. He doesn't get entangled in the things of the world. No. He abstains and she abstains from the very appearance of evil. Every appearance of things that's wrong, you see. They keep us all. It's vindicated in their life that they know what God wants done with His word. They know that God don't want them all caught up in getting involved with the sin, the things that would be wrong on phones and computers. They know God don't want that, so they don't do it. They know that God is more important than material things and phones and different things. Wonder how many of us today thought more of our phone than praying out and crying out to God for revelation. It was more to check that first than to cry out to God for revelation. But see, the little bride, the believer, the true believer knows what God wants done with His Word. They know everything because the Holy Ghost teacher inside teaches them all things and brings all things to the remembrance whatsoever He has said unto you. All. Teaches you all things? Yeah. He lets you know. He don't want you in the dark. He don't want you confused. No. That ain't God's way of doing it. Nope. The little bride knows what God wants done with His Word. And it's vindicated. Okay? Now remember, the make-believer and unbeliever, they can put on like they know. They can go a long time making even people think that they know. You see? Let's go on. I'm going to get ahead of myself. He says, but he that is spiritual, he's filled with the Holy Ghost, friends, judgeth all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? The mind of the Lord? No, the mind of the Lord. Think of that. That he may instruct him. But we have the mind of Christ. Now, before we go on to the next quotes, I want to renew our minds back to this. We have the mind of Christ. And if you search us out, which will all flow right in with what the prophet said. In the Greek it says, one who has perceived divine things. To have the mind of Christ. Has perceived divine things, which only can come from God. They have a capacity for spiritual truth. This mind of Christ has a capacity for spiritual truth. A particular mode, they have a particular mode of thinking and judging thoughts, feelings, purposes, and desires. So it covers these situations as they arise up in life. They have this particular thing about them. They know whether this desire for this thing going on is wrong or right. They know if this feeling is wrong or right. If they have to, they rebuke the devil. Get him out of his thoughts or her thoughts. They have this particular mode of knowing these things and be able to decipher. Okay, this is wrong. This is right. This is wrong. This is right. I shouldn't go there. Maybe walk into a place and, oh, this something's wrong here. I'm out of here. Yeah. Or the unbeliever, make believer, they're professing all the time they've got something, you know, and they're going, wow, there ain't nothing wrong with this. I don't see nothing wrong with this. Why, brother, why wouldn't you do this? Why wouldn't you go here? And why wouldn't you handle that? Because they have a particular mode about them that lets them know this is wrong, this is right, they shouldn't do this, they shouldn't do that. You see? So they know. There's something about it. They have this certain thing about them. They know. Whether make-believer and unbeliever, they try to pilfer their way through. You ever see somebody do that to proclaim they know how to do something? Probably some of you brothers have seen that maybe on your work, your jobs or something. And they proclaim, I know how to do this. Turn them loose, and boy, if they didn't make a mess. They didn't know more how to do it than anything. But they was trying to make you believe that you knew what you was doing. Yeah. And just tore things to pieces. Yet they say they know. See? All right? Same way with unbelievers, make believers. They can make you think, oh, I know exactly what God wants done with His Word. And give them a few minutes and turn around and look, and there they are off as far as they can be. Scripturally. They're often, they didn't catch what the prophet said. Yeah. Oh my.
For who hath known the mind of the Lord that they may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And which we read those things, the Greek said, we have perceived the divine things, or people has capacity of spiritual truth, a particular mode of thinking, and they have a judging of thoughts and feelings and purposes and desires. So they know what's going on. Again, they're not in the dark. They know what's going on. Is that right? Okay. Let's go on here. Let me skip over that and save a little bit of time. Let me go to these two, because I may have to come back to this one if I get time. I want to make sure you get these two back in there, get your mind refreshed to it, because I don't want to have to build back up this next service. All right, so we find again, how can I overcome? He says here, and this was August 25th, 1963, paragraph 68. Romans 8:1, we are all baptized into one body in the domain of that kingdom, one spiritual baptism, no matter how good, how bad, whatever, you're in that kingdom by Holy Ghost baptism. That's the only way you overcome. It's all that is under the shed blood is overcomers, because you cannot overcome yourself. He said, it's he that overcome for you, and you're resting. Now notice what he says there. And you're resting. But now, that's not the experience you hear a lot. I'm trying, Brother Steve. I'm trying, brother, to overcome that. I just can't seem to do that. There's just something about it, I just can't seem to stop that. There's something about it, I just can't seem to judge the right things, you know. I just, and yet, say you're born again. Okay? That's what. He said, he's the one to overcome for you. You're resting. Notice he didn't use, I'm struggling. He didn't say, I'm struggling. He said, you're resting. There's a lot of difference between resting and struggling. Okay? Resting, here it is. It's going along fine. It'll be fine. God's taking care of things. It's being overcome. You're doing what he says to do. And you're not even doing it yourself. Oh, you're not doing it yourself? No. How will I know then, Brother Branham? The what? He said, you're resting. How will I know? How will I know, Brother Branham, that I'm resting? He says, how will I know then, Brother Branham, that I'm in there? He says, watch what kind of a life you're living. I wonder really sometimes how many of us examine ourselves and check ourselves and see what kind of life we're living. Or we just slop our way through life and not even, it doesn't come to thought and we just don't care. And well, if I overcome it, fine. If I don't, I'll get to it sometime. Or if we're really concerned and we're thinking about that, Lord, what is my life doing? He says, watch what kind of a life you're living. Just look around and see if it's just lived out of you automatically. Remember reading that last Sunday? Now, some may not have caught that if you was at home listening. But he said, it's just lived out of you automatically. Now, let's just think a little bit about automatically. I've used the automatic transmission before. Keeping in mind, the automatic transmission, of course, was made by man, but it was designed for the purpose. Brother Pitts will probably know about these things, but the automatic transmission was designed for the purpose to change gears automatically. Some of you young folks probably never even drove a standard transmission. And when you get to my age, you're tired of it. I was a few years ago. I said, no more for me. I'm done with it. When you're a kid, you're like, that's fun. It's fun. But not anymore. Just get me in the seat and let me drive. There's enough things to take care of than to shift gears all the time, especially if you're going down Columbus. But we find it's designed to shift automatically. The TCM controls the pressures in the transmission, throwing the clutches in and out for certain speeds. But it's designed for the purpose, and it's all controlled by that engine source, the power of that engine. In turn controls that transmission. So the engine is the control source, the power that goes to the transmission, and according to RPMs and what the TMC is telling it, according to the pressure on the axles and all that, tells it when them clutches to go in and out. But it was designed for that. Okay? It was designed to do that so that we can jump in the automobile. You may not think about it, but there's a lot going on in that transmission. But you jump in the automobile, and you may take out slow. And you don't think nothing about it. But still, it knows when it gets to a certain speed and the pressure hits the right amount, designed for the speed, then automatically it shifts into the next clutch plate slips in, and now it grabs a hold, and now you're going a little bit faster. You see? And this just happens automatically. Without you sitting in the seat and trying to control it. It does it automatically. That's why it's called an automatic transmission. You're not forcing it. You're not trying to. Of course, when I was a kid, sometimes I tried to force it. Being stupid. One time I took off flying. And I'm acting like I was going through gears. And boy, if I didn't take and throw that thing up in park. Boy, that was bad. That was bad, but it was Dad's car. That's the bad thing. But anyhow, I thought, you know, being a kid, you know, I'm going to fly through this thing. You know, I'm going to make it feel like I'm shifting, you know. Went too far. But see, when I'd done it, I messed things up. If I'd just let the transmission do what it was designed to do, everything would have been fine. Now we find here he's telling us automatically. There's too many people still trying to live this life, and it ain't never going to work. Never. That's why the preacher can get up and preach a message and he can tell you exactly what the word says to do, but instead of just having Christ in your life to take it over in you, you're still trying to do it. I'm trying, Brother Steve. I'm trying, Brother Steve. I'm trying the best I can when it ain't done by desire. The desire is the automation. And then things work just exactly the way it's supposed to work and you're resting. Yeah. But as long as you're fighting it and trying and wanting to, and the thing of simplicity people just can't get is they need the Holy Ghost. And that's why too many trials and tests are still just sinking you. You get so nervous and so tore up and you don't know what to do and you get frustrated and then you say things you shouldn't say. You say things to the wife you shouldn't say. The wife says something to the husband you shouldn't say. Children gets fussy. And then they're fussing back at the children. Then they whip the children when they're mad and all this craziness going on. All you need is the Holy Ghost. And hopefully, the gene of God is in there. Because it ain't, it's going to turn into the next mess. You ain't got the right transmission designed right. Okay? You get to it. Or you have to strain and pull. See, then it's you doing it. But don't try to do it. Because you ain't going to do it anyway. You'll never be able to live it right. The thing that should be taking place is crying out to God to fill you with the Holy Spirit. Then it all falls into place, just like he said. Yeah. Doors and Door, February 6, 1965. A sheep has wool. That's the only thing it has, just to renew your mind again before we go on to the next quote. It can't manufacture wool. We're not asked to manufacture fruit of the Spirit, but to bear the fruit of the Spirit. And as long as it's a sheep, it'll bear. It don't have to manufacture. See, the glands and everything is in the sheep. It makes the wool because inside of him has the glands and the, adrenaline and stuff in it to take to make the wool. And when you are a Christian, you cope with the word. I don't care what anybody else says. You don't have to work up nothing. No. And bring down nothing. Or pull, or pump, you're a Christian. And you just automatically bear the fruit of the Spirit. So how many times do you still, maybe somebody will do something to you? And maybe it's not even rightfully done towards you. Maybe they falsely accused you. And you raise up. And with flesh you want to go after them. With the tongue you want to lash back. Did the life of Christ happen automatically there? No. Speed limit says 70 miles an hour. Do I have to have someone smack me on the face and kick me in the shin and say, slow down? No. It's just a desire. Do it. No problem. It just happens automatically. I'm sure you might not be paying attention and slip up, but as soon as you see it, right down. No. You don't have to have nobody pushing you. You don't have to say, I'm going to put you in jail if you don't stop. The laws is for those that break the law. That law don't mean nothing to me if I'm keeping everything it says. Yeah. Yeah. Same way with all these things. You see? Well, that's a law. You can't do this and you can't do this. It ain't a law as long as you're doing what it says. Just, it's no problem. You're in no trouble. No. But some people, it's a law. Because they have to make that be made to do it. They don't like it, you see. Don't agree with it. Same way with a man and wife, you know. Husband and wife. If it ain't really in their hearts, they really love each other, and they're both filled with the Holy Ghost, it's just a constant. Constantly. Yeah. You ain't doing nothing right. Well, you ain't doing nothing right either. And the children listen to that all the time. But if you was filled with the Holy Ghost and begin to vindicate as a true believer, it just happened automatically. Yeah. Pretty simple. Take my time. I want to make sure you get it. Now, let me go down to this and we'll close for this morning. And know that not. On paragraph 120, this was August 15, 1965. Now, he says, the church. His very whole purpose was the church. Now, how do we get in this church? By one Spirit, we are all baptized into one body. The church, the body of Christ. It cannot fail. Listen to that. It cannot fail. Now, there, he says, now here is what happens. Now, watch this. Just a little figurative picture here. Brother Branham, again, shows the drawing of the three rings that we've used many times that he gave forth. This outside man is flesh. That's what we look at, what we see. And it has five inlets to that. And she doesn't go on to say it, but see, taste, feel, smell, and hear. And any grammar school child, as myself, would know there is five senses. Control the body. I guess he does. I forgot about that. He does. See, taste, feel, smell, and hear. Without that, it was the other ones. He didn't name them all. Without that, you can't touch the body. That's the only way you have to the body. See, taste, or he says, taste, feel, smell, and hear. You see it, taste it, feel it. And that is the evil one on the outside. That is what? That is the evil one on the outside. Wow. If Christ ain't on the inside here, it's very evil out here. Okay? Now, inside of that is a spirit, which you become when you're born in earth, in the earth, and the breath of life is breathed into you. That spirit is of the worldly nature because it was not given from God. It was given or permitted by God, he says. Now you got that? For every child is born in the world is born in sin, shape of iniquity, come in the world speaking lies, that's right. So that person inside there is a sinner to begin with. Okay? Pay attention to what he says there. I know you've had it many times, but let's just pay attention to him for a moment. Now, he says here, it's got five inlets. Five inlets. I don't know whether I can call them off right now. First, I know is thought, conscience, love. One of them's memory, doesn't mention here. Conscience, another one he mentions, and reason. There's five inlets to the spirit. You can't think with your body. You have to think with your spirit. You can't have conscience in your body. It has no mental faculties at all. Your body doesn't. So you have to think with your spirit. You have to reason. You can't reason with your physical being, because reason doesn't see, taste, feel, smell, or hear. Reason is what you can make in your mind. If you're asleep or you're out, your body is lying there dead, but your spirit can still reason. There is five senses that control that inside man. Okay? He says, now, to the last man, which is the soul, there is only one sense that controls that, and that's free moral agencies, free will to choose or reject. And now the reason that people today, now don't forget this now, I want you to think about this believer, the unbeliever, and the make-believer. Okay? He says, now the reason that people today, now don't forget this, you'll see what the initial evidence of the Holy Ghost is. Now, people can live in the Spirit. Do you realize the unbeliever and make-believer can live in the Spirit? Yes. Yeah. And they can dance in the Spirit. Yeah. They can shout in the Spirit. They can go to church in the Spirit. Now think of this, saints. And yet we've got people claim they're believers, true believers, and can't even go to church in the Spirit. Can't even live in the Spirit. Definitely no shouting. And you shouldn't. If ain't something on the inside propelling on the inside, or it's just put on. But we've got a true believers that don't even do those things. Yet the true believers should have that. Yeah. Now people can live in the Spirit and they can dance in the Spirit. They can shout in the Spirit. They can go to church in the Spirit. And they can absolutely have the real Spirit of God anointed on that Spirit. Conscience, reasoning, imagination, affection. Yeah. Excuse me. But still, be lost. I mentioned that quote last Sunday, but I didn't read it. I didn't get far enough to it. He says, they can absolutely have the real Spirit of God anointed on that Spirit. But still, be lost. And just as devil possessed. Oh. As they can be with that Spirit, genuine Spirit. I mean, just as devil possessed. Think of that. See why them ones that's fallen away have maybe done some of these things, danced in the Spirit and shouted and done all these great things and walked in the Spirit, and now they're falling away? Because watch, that's the reason you couldn't tell a woman she was wearing shorts that it was wrong. She'd accept it. She just won't. You couldn't tell her bobbing her hair was wrong. That's why men today, you can't tell them it's wrong to wear these skirts you're wearing today with men's pockets and zippers in them and everything. And I'll stand and stand and forever stand that it's wrong. It pertains to a man's apparel. It isn't a man's apparel, but it pertains to it. It's like it. You see? Which is what pertain is. But you think you're going to tell people that? They'd say you're a fanatic. Everybody in this message is wearing them. Go ahead. Just show them what's in there. Well, what's wrong with your hair? What's your hair got to do with it? Well, it did to Samson. Yeah. God has purposes for hair. Yeah. So what I wear ain't got nothing to do with it. It doesn't. Why does God say in His Word? Huh? Then why can't all the women just go ahead and wear slacks? Huh? Why can't they just go ahead and wear men's clothing? Huh? It's got something to do with it. Yeah. Because watch, that's the reason you couldn't tell woman. I guess we had to ask one. Whosoever shall add one word to this, one word, or take one word from it, and you watch that unbeliever make believer, they cannot help themselves from taking away from it. Can't help it. Not that they really want to. It's just they can't help it. There's nothing on the inside to keep them from doing it because it wasn't given to them to know. The believer was given to them to know. You see? So the make-believer and unbeliever is going to fall away. Yeah. But that true believer ain't never going to fall away. She knows exactly what God wants done with the Word of God. Exactly. Oh, yeah. No maybes about it. No, well, just in case. And closing here, I'll close here. Now the only way up here in the spears, it's better than Holy Ghost spears, up in the spears of having this particular mode that you know what's right, what's wrong, you know what God wants done with His Word. Yeah. The only way up in here, this spears, that you could ever be in this little inside man. And you had to be foreordained. You had to be. You had to be predestinated. You had to be foreordained. Yes. That's the only way you'll know. Because you was with God and you are a part of God. I was in my Father. I also was in my grandfather. And my grandfather's grandfather, by seed, I was in that. I was in Christ. You were in Christ before the foundation of the world. He came to redeem his own that was in him. Hallelujah, hallelujah, he says. His children that was in him, see. He never came to save the devil's children. No. They never will know it. They never will. They could get close sometimes, but they'll never know it. And they are so shrewd in their ways of their intellectual learning. They're so shrewd in their ways of intellectual learning. Oh, they can quote things. If I was listening, I haven't for quite a while now, but just when I was going through searching this out, they were so learned and knowed scriptures, knowed what the prophet said so well. Just almost unbelievable. And yet, called Brother Branham a false prophet. Wow. But they're so shrewd in the ways of their intellectual learning that you can't compare with them at all. No. You can't out-talk them. No. But by faith, you see it. Thank God for that. Amen. By faith, you see it. Amen. We'll close there for this morning. Amen. Oh, I love the Word of God. I love to know where to stand, friends. I'd love to know where I'm at and make sure you're coming out in the right position. Yes, with Christ. And not saying there may be things I don't need to overcome yet. I'm sure there will be and things that may come along. But by God's grace, when it's brought to my attention, amen. As long as it's the Word, you know, that's the thing. As long as it's the Word. So we find that where are we as individuals? Where are we finding ourselves in this as these words are coming forth? Where are we placing ourselves? Are we measuring ourselves up to see where we're at? Let's all stand. And making sure that we're the believer, not a make-believer, an unbeliever. Are we knowing that we're filled with the Holy Ghost? You know, as the prophet said in the message token, he said, this is the message of the hour. What life? This is life age. This is what it's all about. Because if Christ is living in us, everything will work just the way God wants it to work. Is that right? Yeah. Absolutely. It'll come automatically. Now, you're going to go get in your cars today and take off, and you're not going to have to sit there and talk to the dash or talk to something. Say, okay, and you're starting to head down the road and say, it's time to shift. Nope. You don't tell it time to shift. It will shift when it's time to shift. Yeah. And when you begin to slow down, it'll start shifting down just like it's supposed to, because it was designed to do so. The TCM is telling it that, which is Transmission Control Module, is telling it to do that by the RPMs we produce off the engine. So what about us? If man can make a transmission work automatically, don't you think God can't put people on this earth to work automatically? Absolutely he can. He's much greater than man is. Oh, yeah. So why don't we just let him have his way? Amen. Lord, and if it's needing filled with the Holy Ghost, fill me with the Holy Ghost, Lord. Hallelujah. It's so hard for people to admit that, especially if they've traveled along in life for a while and had a little excitement in their life. Somebody maybe laid hands on them or something happened. I got it. And all the time their life's showing it ain't there. But, you know, you just got to do your best and cry out to God for them. And, Lord, give me the things to say. You know, things to bring to your people. So I trust that the word will work upon you and through you and bring you under submission to the word of God. Amen. Let's bow our heads. Kind Heavenly Father, as we come to the close of another service, Lord, I know probably these words maybe to some has been so mixed up. But Lord, by grace, I'm seeing the picture in my mind. Lord, if I can just bring it to the people and get them to see it. Lord, I know I can't give them the revelation, but Father, you alone can give them the revelation of it. So we're asking that you help us and help us to receive these things. Lord, you can have a people in this little building, which I know you'll have them all over the earth, here and there. But Lord, you'll have a part of your little people right here that you'll have a preeminence of, and truly it'll be a life lived automatically. It won't be something, Lord, we're pushing and pulling and tugging and struggling, Lord. But, oh, God, it'll just come with a rest in our hearts and a peace in our life. Lord, that you could have a greater preeminence. We ask now thy will be done. So we ask you to guide us. Keep us safe upon the highways, we pray. In your glorious name we ask, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. You're dismissed. May God bless you. Amen.